Hello, and welcome to the Pediatric Critical Care Medicine Audio Abstracts. I'm Dr. Erin Bennett, and on behalf of PCCM, I'm happy to present this audio recording of the research abstracts that appear in this month's issue. Let's get started. Abstract 1 is a feature article by Brohan et al. PaO2 and Mortality in Neonatal Extracorporeal Membrane Oxygenation, Retrospective Analysis of the Extracorporeal Life Support Organization Registry from 2015 to 2020. Objectives. Extracorporeal life support can lead to rapid reversal of hypoxemia, but the benefits and harms of different oxygenation targets in severely ill patients are unclear. Our primary objective was to investigate the association between the PaO2 after extracorporeal membrane oxygenation or ECMO initiation and mortality in neonates treated for respiratory failure. Design. Retrospective analysis of the Extracorporeal Life Support Organization or ELSO registry data from 2015 to 2020. Patients. Newborns supported by ECMO for respiratory indication were included. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. PaO2 24 hours after ECMO initiation was reported. The primary outcome was 28-day mortality. From 198 ELSO centers, we identified 3,533 newborns with a median age of 1 day and an interquartile range of 1 to 3 days, and a median weight of 3.2 kilograms with an interquartile range of 2.8 to 3.6 kilograms. By 28 days of life, 731, or 20.7%, had died. The median 24-hour PaO2 was 85 millimeters of mercury with an interquartile range of 60 to 142 millimeters of mercury. We found that both hypoxia, defined as a PaO2 less than 60 millimeters of mercury, and moderate hyperoxia, defined as a PaO2 of 201 to 300 millimeters of mercury, were associated with greater adjusted odds ratio of 28-day mortality. The adjusted odds ratio for hypoxia was 1.44 with a 95% confidence interval of 1.08 to 1.93 and a p-value equal to 0.016, and the adjusted odds ratio for hyperoxia was 1.49 with a 95% confidence interval of 1.01 to 2.19 and a p-value equal to 0.045. In conclusion, early hypoxia or moderate hyperoxia after ECMO initiation are each associated with greater odds of 28-day mortality among neonates requiring ECMO for respiratory failure. Abstract 2 is a feature article by Whitney et al. Biomarker-based risk stratification tool in pediatric acute respiratory distress syndrome, single-center longitudinal validation in a 2014 to 2019 cohort. Objectives. The Pediatric Acute Respiratory Distress Syndrome Biomarker Risk Model, or PARD-SEVERE, used age and three plasma biomarkers measured within 24 hours of pediatric acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS, onset to predict mortality in a pilot cohort of 152 patients. However, longitudinal performance of the Pediatric Acute Respiratory Distress Syndrome Biomarker Risk Model has not been evaluated, and it is unclear whether the risk model can be used to prognosticate after day zero. We, therefore, sought to determine the test characteristics of the Pediatric Acute Respiratory Distress Syndrome Biomarker Risk Model and population over the first 7 days after ARDS onset. Design. Secondary unplanned post-hoc analysis of data from a prospective observational cohort study carried out from 2014 to 2019. Setting, university-affiliated PICU. Patients included mechanically ventilated children with ARDS. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. Between July 2014 and December 2019, 279 patients with ARDS had plasma collected at day zero, 266 at day 3 with 11 non-survivors and 2 discharged between day 0 and 3, and 207 at day 7 with 27 non-survivors and 45 discharged between days 3 and 7. The actual prevalence of mortality on day 0 was 23% or 64 of 279, on day 3 was 14% or 38 of 266, and on day 7 was 13% or 27 of 207. The PARD-SEVERE risk model for mortality had area under the receiver operating characteristic curve on day 0 of 0.76 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.69 to 0.82, on day 3 of 0.68 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.6 to 0.76, and on day 7 of 0.74 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.65 to 0.83. The area under the receiver operating characteristic curve data translate into prevalence thresholds for PARD-SEVERE model for mortality, IDEST using the sensitivity and specificity values of 37%, 27%, and 24% on day 0, 3, and 7, respectively. Negative predictive value was high throughout, 0.87 to 0.9 for all three time points. Conclusions. In this exploratory analysis of the PARD-SEVERE model of mortality risk prediction in a population longitudinal series of data from days 0, 3, and 7 after ARDS diagnosis, the diagnostic performance is in the acceptable category. Negative predictive value was good. A major limitation is that actual mortality is far below the prevalence threshold for such testing. The model may therefore be more useful in cohorts with higher mortality rates, for example, immunocompromised or other countries, and future enhancements to the model should be explored. Abstract 3 is a feature article by Carces et al. Prevalence of bacterial co-detection and outcomes for infants intubated for respiratory infections. Objectives: to determine the prevalence of respiratory bacterial co-detection in children younger than 2 years intubated for acute lower respiratory tract infection, primarily viral bronchiolitis, and identify the association of co-detection with mechanical ventilation duration. Design: prospective observational study evaluating the prevalence of bacterial co-detection, defined as moderate or heavy growth of pathogenic bacteria, plus moderate or many polymorphonuclear neutrophils, and the impact of co-detection on invasive mechanical ventilation duration. Setting: PICUs in 12 high and low or middle income countries. Patients: children younger than 2 years old requiring intubation and ICU admission for lower respiratory tract infection and who had a lower respiratory tract culture obtained at the time of intubation between December 1, 2019 and November 30, 2020. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. Of the 472 analyzed patients with a median age of 4.5 months, 55% had a positive respiratory culture and 29%, or n equal to 138, had co-detection. 90% received early antibiotics starting at a median of 0.36 hours after respiratory culture. Median invasive mechanical ventilation duration was 151 hours with an interquartile range of 88 to 226, and there were 28 deaths, or 5.3%. Co-detection was more common with younger age, a positive respiratory syncytial virus test, and an admission diagnosis of bronchiolitis. It was less common with an admission diagnosis of pneumonia, with admission to a lower middle income site, and in those receiving vasopressors. When adjusted for confounders, co-detection was not associated with longer invasive mechanical ventilation duration, with an adjusted relative risk of 0.854 and a 95% confidence interval of 0.684 to 1.065. We could not exclude the possibility that co-detection might be associated with a 30-hour shorter invasive mechanical ventilation duration compared with no co-detection, although the confidence interval includes the null value. Conclusions. Bacterial co-detection was present in almost a third of children younger than 2 years requiring intubation and ICU admission for lower respiratory tract infection, but this was not associated with prolonged invasive mechanical ventilation. Further large studies are needed to evaluate if co-detection is associated with shorter invasive mechanical ventilation duration. Abstract 4 is a clinical investigation by Matsuoka et al. Skeletal muscle mass assessment in pediatric patients, development of a normative equation and assessment of factors associated with a low skeletal muscle mass in PICU patients. Objectives: to develop an equation for defining a low skeletal muscle mass in children and to investigate risk factors and outcomes associated with low skeletal muscle mass in critically ill pediatric patients. Design: single-center retrospective pediatric cohort 2011 to 2018. Setting: tertiary emergency and critical care center of Kyushu University Hospital in Japan. Patients: we studied two cohorts of pediatric patients 1 to 15 years old who underwent abdominal CT at the level of the third lumbar vertebrae, or L3. First, a cohort of trauma patients presented to the emergency department in whom we developed a skeletal muscle mass regression equation. Second, a cohort of patients who had undergone abdominal CT within 3 days of PICU admission. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. The equation for estimating normal skeletal muscle mass used sex, age, and weight. Low skeletal muscle mass was defined as less than 80% of normal. In the 112 patients in the PICU cohort, median age was 68 months with a range of 13 to 191 months, and 83 or 74.1% had underlying disease. There was low skeletal muscle mass in 54 patients or 48.2%. Regarding associations, using odds ratio and 95% confidence intervals, we found that low dietary intake and the presence of underlying disease were independently associated with greater odds of low skeletal muscle mass. Low dietary intake had an odds ratio of 4.33 with a 95% confidence interval of 1.37 to 13.7 and a p-value equal to 0.013, and the presence of underlying disease had an odds ratio of 7.44 with a 95% confidence interval of 2.1 to 26.3 and a p-value equal to 0.002. Low skeletal muscle mass compared with normal skeletal muscle mass was also associated with longer hospital stays, 42.5 days versus 20.5 days with a p-value equal to 0.007, a beta of 1.59, a 95% confidence interval of 1.09 to 2.33, and a p-value equal to 0.016. Conclusions. In this retrospective PICU cohort from a single center in Japan, we found that low skeletal muscle mass at PICU admission was present in almost half the cases. Low skeletal muscle mass, as defined by being less than 80% of the normal, was associated with greater odds of low dietary intake and underlying chronic disease. Furthermore, low skeletal muscle mass was associated with longer hospital stays. Abstract 5 is a PCCM trial by Darnell et al. Protocol for a randomized controlled trial to evaluate a permissive blood pressure target versus usual care in critically ill children with hypotension. The pressure trial. Objectives. Management of hypotension is a fundamental part of pediatric critical care, with cardiovascular support in the form of fluids or vasoactive drugs offered to every hypotensive child. However, optimal blood pressure targets are unknown. The protocolized evaluation of permissive blood pressure targets versus usual care or pressure trial aims to evaluate the clinical and cost-effectiveness of a permissive mean arterial pressure target of greater than a fifth percentile for age compared with usual care. Design. Pragmatic, open, multicenter, parallel group, randomized control trial with integrated economic evaluation. Setting, 18 PICUs across the United Kingdom. Patients included infants and children older than 37 weeks corrected gestational age to 16 years accepted to a participating PICU on mechanical ventilation and receiving vasoactive drugs for hypotension. Interventions. Adjustment of hemodynamic support to achieve a permissive mean arterial pressure target greater than 5th percentile for age during invasive mechanical ventilation. Measurements and main results. Randomization is 1-to-1 to a permissive mean arterial pressure target or usual care stratified by site and age group. Due to the emergency nature of the treatment, approaching patients for written informed consent will be deferred until after randomization. The primary clinical outcome is a composite of death and days of ventilatory support at 30 days. Baseline demographics and clinical status will be recorded, as well as daily measures of blood pressure and organ support and discharge outcomes. This randomized control trial received Health Research Authority approval and a favorable ethical opinion from the East of England Cambridge South Research Ethics Committee on May 10, 2021. The trial is registered and has an international standard randomized control trial number. Reference 20609635. Conclusions. Trial findings will be disseminated in United Kingdom national and international conferences and in peer-reviewed journals. Abstract 6 is a special article by Alexander et al. Executive summary. The Pediatric Extracorporeal Membrane Oxygenation Anticoagulation Collaborative Consensus Conference. Objectives. To present recommendations and consensus statements with supporting literature for the clinical management of neonates and children supported with extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, or ECMO, from the Pediatric ECMO Anticoagulation Collaborative, or PEACE, Consensus Conference. Data sources. Systematic review was performed using PubMed, Embase, and Cochrane Library databases from January 1988 to May 2021, followed by serial meetings of international interprofessional experts in the management of ECMO for critically ill children. Study selection. The management of ECMO anticoagulation for critically ill children. Data extraction. Within each of 8 subgroups, 2 authors reviewed all citations independently, with a third independent reviewer resolving any conflicts. Data synthesis. A systematic review was conducted using Medline, Embase, and Cochrane Library databases from January 1988 to May 2021. Each panel developed evidence-based and, when evidence was insufficient, expert-based statements for the clinical management of anticoagulation for children supported with ECMO. These statements were reviewed and ratified by 48 PEACE experts. Consensus was obtained using the research and development and UCLA appropriateness method. Results were summarized using the grading of recommendations assessment, development, and evaluation method. We developed 23 recommendations, 52 expert consensus statements, and 16 good practice statements covering the management of ECMO anticoagulation in three broad categories: general care and monitoring, perioperative care, and non-procedural bleeding or thrombosis. Gaps in knowledge and research priorities were identified, along with three research-focused good practice statements. Conclusions: the 91 statements focused on clinical care will form the basis for standardization and future clinical trials. Abstract 7 is an online cardiac intensive care article by Perry et al. Mechanical Ventilation and Outcomes of Children Who Undergo Ventricular Assist Device Placement, 2014-2020 Linked Analysis from the Advanced Cardiac Therapies Improving Outcomes Network and Pediatric Cardiac Critical Care Consortium Registries. Objectives: placement of a ventricular assist device, or VAD, improves outcomes in children with advanced heart failure, but adverse events remain important consequences. Preoperative mechanical ventilation increases mortality, but it is unknown what impact prolonged postoperative mechanical ventilation has. Design: Advanced Cardiac Therapies Improving Outcomes Network, or ACTION, and Pediatric Cardiac Critical Care Consortium, or PC4, registries were used to identify and link children with initial VAD placement admitted to the cardiac ICU, or CICU, from August 2014 to July 2020. Demographics, cardiac diagnosis, preoperative and postoperative CICU courses, and outcomes were compiled. Univariable and multivariable statistics assessed association of patient factors with prolonged postoperative mechanical ventilation. Multivariable logistic regression sought independent associations with outcomes. Setting: 35 pediatric CICUs across the United States and Canada. Patients: children on VADs included in both registries. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results: 248 ACTION subjects were linked to a matching patient in PC4. Median age was 7.7 years with an interquartile range of 1.5 to 15.5 years. Median weight was 21.3 kilograms with an interquartile range of 9.1 to 58 kilograms, and 56% were male. Primary diagnosis was congenital heart disease in 35%. Pre-VAD explanatory variables independently associated with prolonged postoperative mechanical ventilation included age with an incidence rate ratio of 0.95, a 95% confidence interval of 0.93 to 0.96, and a p-value less than 0.01, preoperative mechanical ventilation within 48 hours with an incidence rate ratio of 2.76, a 95% confidence interval of 1.59 to 4.79, and a p-value less than 0.01, 2 to 7 days before VAD implant with an incidence rate ratio of 1.82, a 95% confidence interval of 1.15 to 2.89, and a p-value equal to 0.011, and greater than 7 days before VAD implant with an incidence rate ratio of 2.35, a 95% confidence interval of 1.62 to 3.4, and a p-value less than 0.01, and congenital heart disease with an incidence rate ratio of 1.96, a 95% confidence interval of 1.48 to 2.59, and a p-value less than 0.01. Each additional day of postoperative mechanical ventilation was associated with greater odds of mortality, with an odds ratio of 1.09 per day, with a p-value less than 0.01 in the full cohort. We identified and associated greater odds of mortality in the 102 patients with intracorporeal devices, with an odds ratio of 1.24, a 95% confidence interval of 1.04 to 1.48, and a p-value equal to 0.014, but not paracorporeal devices, in 77 patients with an odds ratio of 1.04, a 95% confidence interval of 0.99 to 1.09, and a p-value equal to 0.115. Conclusions: prolonged mechanical ventilation after VAD placement is associated with greater odds of mortality in intracorporeal devices, which may indicate inadequacy of cardiopulmonary support in this group. This linkage provides a platform for future analyses in this population. Abstract 9 is an online cardiac intensive care article by Engel et al. Bivalirudin monitoring in pediatric ventricular assist device and extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, analysis of single center retrospective cohort data from 2018 to 2022. Objectives: the activated partial thromboplastin time, or APTT, is the most frequently used monitoring assay for bivalirudin in children and young adults on mechanical circulatory support, including ventricular assist devices, or VADs, and extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, or ECMO. However, intrinsic variability of the APTT complicates management and risks bleeding or thrombotic complications. We evaluated the utility and reliability of a bivalirudin calibrated dilute thrombin time, or bival DTT, assay for bivalirudin monitoring in this population. Design: retrospective analysis of clinical data, including APTT, dilute thrombin time, or DTT, and results of residual plasma samples from VAD patients were assessed in two drug calibrated experimental assays. One assay, or the bival DTT, was validated for clinical use in VAD patients and subsequently used by clinicians in ECMO patients. Pearson correlation and simple linear regression were used to determine R-square correlation coefficients between the different laboratory parameters using statistical package for social sciences. Setting: ICUs at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center. Subjects: children on VAD or ECMO support anticoagulated with bivalirudin. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results: 115 plasma samples from 11 VAD patients were analyzed. Both drug-calibrated experimental assays, including anti-2A and bival DTT, showed excellent correlation with each other and with the DTT, but poor correlation with APTT. Correlation with each other had an R-squared equal to 0.94, correlation with DTT had an R-squared equal to 0.87, and poor correlation with APTT had R-squared equal to 0.1. Bival DTT was selected for validation in VAD patients. Subsequently, 105 clinically ordered results from 11 ECMO patients demonstrated excellent correlation between the bival DTT and the standard DTT, with an R-squared equal to 0.86, but very poor correlation with APTT, with an R-squared equal to 0.004. Conclusions: APTT is unreliable and correlates poorly with bivalirudin's anticoagulant effect in ECMO and VAD patients. A drug-calibrated bival DTT offers superior reliability and opportunity to standardize results across institutions. Additional studies are needed to determine an appropriate therapeutic range and correlation with clinical outcomes. The July 2024 issue of PCCM includes supplemental issue of articles supporting the Pediatric Extracorporeal Membrane Oxygenation Anticoagulation Collaborative, or PEACE, Consensus Conference. Please see pccmjournal.org for more details and to access these articles. This concludes the abstracts for the July 2024 issue of Pediatric Critical Care Medicine. Thank you very much for listening. For more journal-related content, including access to the articles mentioned in this recording, please visit pccmjournal.org. Members of the SCCM Pediatric Section receive complimentary access to the PCCM Journal.